Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 39 of the podcast called Proclaim. The podcast that teaches every Bible-believing Christian how to preach the gospel by any means necessary in many different settings, including using the internet and the what we call new podcast pulpit. If you are a Christian, you should be preaching the gospel and the word of God in some way, shape, form, or fashion, because Jesus Christ said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." In the New Testament, the word preach simply means to herald or proclaim the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. The purpose of this podcast is to show you how you can get started or help you do it better for God's glory and for the salvation of lost souls. My name is Daniel White III. I am the president of Gospel Light Society International. I have been, by God's grace, a full-time evangelist for the past over 35 years, and I have preached the gospel across the United States and in many countries around the world, and we thank God for the souls that have been saved. This podcast is not necessarily for ordained pastors of churches. If you are a pastor of a church, or you plan on pastoring a church and you are looking to improve your preaching, I recommend to you that you listen to Pastor H.B. Charles Jr.'s On Preaching podcast. This podcast that you're listening to now is for the everyday Christian who wants to be obedient to God in proclaiming the gospel, the good news of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our scripture verse on preaching is Luke 8:1, which reads, "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Our quote on preaching today is from Richard Salter Storrs. He said, "Always carry with you in the pulpit a sense of the immense consequences which may depend on your full and faithful presentation of the truth." Beloved, in this podcast we are using as our texts, our background texts, so that you will be well-rounded in your evangelistic gospel preaching ministry. The following three books, lectures to my students, which I read by the grace of God almost 40 years ago for the first time. I believe I still have my torn, ripped, mocked up copy that I used to go to a community college in Goshen, Mississippi to read. I didn't go to the college to get an education. I went to read that book, and I mocked it up. Almost every page jumped out at me as a young preacher. The author of that book is Charles H. Spurgeon. And even though many of you may not be pastors, it will help you to be well-rounded ministry-wise. The next book is The Preacher and His Preaching by Alfred P. Gibbs, and then Biblical Preaching by Haddon W. Robinson. I share these books with you because preaching the gospel is much more than preaching the gospel. You need to live the gospel as well, and they deal very forthrightly with that issue. That we, as the vessels of the Lord, need to be clean. Can somebody say amen? And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, if you appreciate what we're doing here, please feel free to purchase any one of these books for your personal library, for the resources page on our website, podcastpulpit.com. Today our topic is titled The Preacher's Private Prayer, Part 3, From Lectures to My Students by Charles H. Spurgeon. The best and holiest men have ever made prayer the most important part of pulpit preparation. It is said of McCain, anxious to give his people on the Sabbath what had cost him somewhat, he never, without an urgent reason, went before them without much previous meditation and prayer. His principle on this subject was embodied in a remark he made to some of us who were conversing on the matter. Being asked his view of diligent preparation for the pulpit, he reminded us of Exodus 27:20, beaten oil for the lamps of the sanctuary. And yet his prayerfulness was greater still. Indeed, he could not neglect fellowship with God before entering the congregation. He needed to be bathed in the love of God. His ministry was so much a bringing out of views that had first sanctified his own soul that the healthiness of his soul was absolutely needful to the vigor and power of his ministrations. With him, the commencement of all labor invariably consisted in the preparation of his own soul. The walls of his chamber were witnesses of his prayerfulness and of his tears, as well as of his cries. Prayer will singularly assist you in the delivery of your sermon. In fact, nothing can so gloriously fit you to preach as descending fresh from the mount of communion with God to speak with men. Can somebody say amen right there? None are so able to plead with men as those who have been wrestling with God on their behalf. It is said of Alleyn, he poured out his very heart in prayer and preaching. His supplications and his exhortations were so affectionate, so full of holy zeal, life, and vigor, that they quite overcame his hearers. He melted over them, so that he thawed and mollified and sometimes dissolved the hardest hearts. There could have been none of this sacred dissolving of heart if his mind had not been previously exposed to the tropical rays of the Sun of Righteousness by private fellowship with the risen Lord. My. A truly pathetic delivery in which there is no affectation but much affection can only be the offspring of prayer. There is no rhetoric like that of the heart, and no school for learning it but the foot of the cross. It were better that you never learned a rule of human oratory, but were full of the power of heaven-born love, than that you should master Quintilian, Cicero, and Aristotle, and remain without the apostolic anointing. Somebody ought to shout amen right there. Prayer may not make you eloquent after the human mode, but it will make you truly so, for you will speak out of the heart, and is not that the meaning of the word eloquence? It will bring fire from heaven upon your sacrifice, and thus prove it to be accepted of the Lord. As fresh springs of thought will frequently break up during preparation in answer to prayer, so will it be in the delivery of the sermon. Most preachers who depend upon God's Spirit will tell you that their freshest and best thoughts are not those which were premeditated, but ideas which come to them, my God, flying as on the wings of angels. God help us. Unexpected treasures brought on a sudden by celestial hands. Seeds of the flowers of paradise wafted from the mountains of myrrh. Often and often when I have felt hampered both in thought and expression, my secret groaning of heart has brought me relief. And I have enjoyed more than usual liberty. Can a preacher somewhere say amen? You know what he's talking about. But how dare we pray in the battle if we have never cried to the Lord while buckling on the harness? The remembrance of his wrestlings at home comforts the fettered preacher when in the pulpit. Allow me to repeat that. The remembrance of his wrestlings at home comforts the fettered preacher when in the pulpit. God will not desert us unless we have deserted him. You, brethren, will find that prayer will ensure you strength equal to your day. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, your servant, at home with you in heaven, but yet he still speaketh and liveth. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, beloved, as we close today, I want to speak to those who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as those who have doubts about their salvation. Allow me to share with you very clearly how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be saved from hell fire forever and have a home in heaven with God forever. Here is how, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. And so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.